first one you notice comes out of Jeremiah, chapter 1. It's called the Call of Jeremiah, kind of a familiar section, so if you haven't heard it, please listen to it now. Starting at chapter 1, starting at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Our New Testament lesson comes out of the book of Luke, starting at chapter 4, verse 31 to 44, if you'll look in your Bibles there on your phone. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man, possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? What with authority and power he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news of him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Here ends the reading. I'd like to invite kids to come down. Come on down. Keep coming. That's good. Do you remember last Sunday when I sent two? How old were they? Where'd she go? I saw her in church. Oh, there she is. How did your day go? Terrible. They just worked you like a slave, huh? Did they let you eat? Oh, good. Did they let you sleep in the house? Boy, they spoiled you. So, how old were you again? Oh, I thought pretending to be 10. See the advantages and disadvantages of that. Well, last time we talked about a 10-year-old girl that did a wonderful thing, a very important thing. And today I'm going to talk about a girl who's a little bit older. She's 17. But she's not here today. Mandy, I am going to give you something, and I'm going to help you understand that God has given each one of you some different talents, abilities, and gifts. Now, Gary, do you know who Gary is? He plays the keyboard for us up there. He saw something, and he got it offline, and he printed it out and he gave it to Mandy. And he said, look, Mandy, you could do a picture if you wanted to on pro-life things, on how to save babies and how important children were. Well, Mandy decided, I'm willing to do that. And so I want to show you the picture that she got and that she made on the front of this. Here we go. I got one for each of you. Take it. Go ahead. Take it. Good, good. There you go. She painted that picture. All right. There you go. You see that picture? That's what she came up with. And in that picture, she showed what's in the picture? A baby and a mama. And what is all that pink and blue stuff? They look like hearts or butterflies. I think they're hearts. I think they're hearts. And when I looked at the picture, do you know what they gave her? They gave her the first prize of the girl who happened to be the girls and the kids who were the same age that she was. And so she won. Here, honey. She won the prize. And that's why we got these printed and we got them back. One of the things my secretary made sure I got done was I had to write what's on the back side. She said, Bruce, you better get this done. And so I did this, and this is what I wrote. Mandy's artwork is an unbelievable visual of significance, the complexity of love and humanity mixed together. God uses the love of a mother for a child, speaks of us as his children, and calls us to stand in the gap for those who can't speak for themselves. Who's that? Who's the people that can't speak for themselves? The babies, right. If we treasure life and all of its colors and facets and understand who the giver of life is, we will be reminded to guard life, whether it's inside the mother's tummy, the womb, or whether it is the aged. Each of us created in the image of God is called to proclaim the gospel of life and salvation for all mankind. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Somebody saw paint a picture, and he knew he wasn't that good at painting, but he thought of Mandy. And so he went to Mandy, and he said, maybe you'd like to do this. And she decided she would. And so she came up with a picture that no one else came up with. And here's what I want you to remember. Sometimes when you're only 9 going on 10, but wishing you were only 9 because then you wouldn't have been picked on, right? Some of you are going to be painters and drawers. Some of you are going to be writers. Some of you are going to have different abilities, and God can use every one of you. Remember last Sunday we talked about the little girl and how she helped save the master, even though she was a slave, even though that was the condition for her, the situation was such, she saved the master by telling him about the prophet that could heal the sick man with leprosy. Now, Mandy put this in a picture, and here's what you get to do. You get to look at that picture and be reminded the love between a mother and a child, and all the many things that means, because some of you need something different from your mothers or fathers. Some of you, when you get sick, what do you need? Care. Some of you, when you behave badly, what do you need? A what? Discipline. Yes. Some of you, when you forget how to share, what do you need from mom or dad? You need them to remind you to share and be nice, right? Well, one day you might be the person who gets this little card that says, could you paint a picture? Could you show what Jesus' love looks like? Could you show how much God loves you in a picture? Or could you write a poem or a song? Because sometimes kids that grow up here have started to play musical instruments. Can you think of anybody that plays violin in church? One of the girls that's grown up yet? Christiana. And her gift right now is music and other things like that. So here's what I want you to remember for the sermon. We're going to be talking. Never let anyone tell you you're too little or too young, okay, to serve God. Because you can do things like paint a or write something that would go perfect on the back or help somebody else out. What? Go ahead, honey. Go ahead. That is. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Absolutely. But here's the important part. You have to serve God with what you're doing. Can you remember that for me? Good. We're going to try and pass those out a little later on. We got a treat for you. We're going to let guys go first today. Guys, go first. Hurry up, though. Take two. Take two, they're small. See, it's hard to wait, isn't it? Go ahead. You got two. Go. That's good. Good. Run, run, run. Ladies next.
Thank
you, Pastor Bruce. You're welcome, honey. They're over here. We'll get them back to you eventually. 5, 4, 3, 2.5, 1.5. Yeah, you each get two. But you got to go quick. Go ahead, hon. Yeah, take two. Atta girl. Oh. If they get lost along the way, just point them in the right directions. Many people don't like their calling. Most of the prophets, you kind of went, why me? Get somebody else. You have to be a little bit suspicious sometimes with people that are just really comfortable. I like being the boss. I'll tell you what to do and you can do it that way. This is an interesting call on Jeremiah's life. He's young, kids. He's only a little bit older than you, probably. Maybe he's about 17 years old, like somebody I was hoping would be here so I could use her as an example. But he's not very old at all, and God comes to him, and he says these words to him, as you pick this up very clear. The word came to me saying, before, and the word in the Greek is molded, before I squeezed you together. It's a really powerful word. It means shaped you the way I wanted you to be. In the womb I knew you, and before you came out of that womb, I set you apart as a prophet to the nations. Now, I'm looking at little kids up here. I'm not sure I can read that verse to them and they would get that. All right? I'm smart enough to know that one day they may be up there leading singing. Another one may be up there doing another painting. Another one maybe playing the violin again or something else like that. I can see that because I understand where kids are growing and what it means to have been one time that little and now not so little anymore. And so this verse has a different kind of weight when it hits you as an adult because this is looking at you going, what do you see when you're a kid? Have you seen what God has for him or her to do? Do you see the hand of God's mercy and grace upon them? Do you understand that God has this calling, this invitation, this challenge? I have a place for them to go. I have something for them to do. I told you, I think once, that I remember a time when I had just started teaching and I was dealing with a very brilliant young man. I think it was 9th or 10th grade. I was working with him in my class, and it was parent-teacher night, and the parents came, and I said, your son is unbelievably gifted. He is intelligent. He's got a great attitude. I want you to really think about the possibility that maybe he could one day be a pastor. I go, he just seems to have what it's going to take, and I just need you to hear that. Oh, no! You don't make any money doing that. I went, oh. That was my first time. I was significantly rebuked. I have many more to accumulate over the years. But you begin to understand, because someone is gifted, talented, and would move and do something really wonderful, that doesn't mean the parents are willing to let them do it. So part of my challenge today is to help you understand where God wants to take your kid might be more difficult than you and I realize. They might have them in a place that you would never go, but they're able to go without flinching. Or have a job that you could never handle, like someone who says, I could never take care of kids. The next one goes, I could never take care of old people. And the next one says, I couldn't. And they finish it off with what you like or can't stand. And the child looks at you and says, Mom, I love doing that. I'll do that. And you begin to understand your children, although a gift to you in one sense, don't belong to you. And so when we hear the call of Jeremiah, there are things going on around this young man that I need you to understand. He is being called to an almost impossible ministry. America isn't going to make it, people. It's going down. We have no guts and courage. The government is corrupt beyond anything you can even imagine. And there is no chance this country is going to make it. It's not in the book of Revelation. God told me to tell you that. So you better change the way you live, because it's only going to get worse. This is nothing compared to what you're going to be living in the next 2 years. And you more than likely won't even live in this country. They will scatter you around the world and let you eat snails and snakes and eels and garbage. And you kind of go, what's Pastor doing to us? Excuse me, this is called the Ministry of Jeremiah. Welcome, Ministry of Jeremiah. Anyone want it? What did the people do? The religious people beat him. Shut up. They threatened him. Shut up. Even if it's true, we don't want to hear it. Anyone want the ministry? You understand? There is this side of standing with God, of being God's people, that is unbelievably difficult. Jeremiah was a young boy, probably not much more than 17, 18 years old when this call came. And his ministry was just as bad and tough as I told you. And it was him preaching to the elders, to the people that, oh, no, 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 you don't understand. We're Jerusalem. We're God's people. We're the Jews. What? There must be something wrong. You must be a kook. There must be something wrong with you. And I go, the weeping prophet Jeremiah, who also wrote Lamentations, is crying because the people won't listen and won't acknowledge that he has been sent to them by the power of God. Do you understand there are so many things going on in this moment of the call of God in Jeremiah, the young man's life, that is so far beyond what we can comprehend? I don't know if Mom or Dad ever pictured that Mandy's picture would receive an award and be identified as the best one that was turned in for the pro-life issue, and the power of what that little painting showed. But you begin to understand, who knows where the next step God's going to take her or one of our other children, and you begin to understand the process that we're being introduced here. All right? Jeremiah responds this way. I said, Lord, God, behold, I don't even know how to arrange my words. The Greek word is, I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to get the words out. I'm not sure how to say it. Should I say it soft? Should I say it loud? Those are the kind of questions that first one covers. And then it says, and I am just a child. Okay. And God says this. Don't say I'm a child. For all that I shall send you, you shall walk every place I tell you you're going to go. And what I command you to speak, you're going to speak. And so you begin to understand the prophet ministry was one that could become extremely difficult. Because the church, the Jews, the people of God, the people of the Word of God, don't want to hear it. If I was really preaching that 2 years and this country will be gone from the face of the earth, do you want to hear it even if I knew it was from the Lord? And what would you do with it besides hate me and accuse me of being the one that's driving you crazy? Try to understand how difficult this ministry is and how much God put his trust in this young man, terrified of arranging his words, unsure of being old enough to be ever respected or trusted, walking into this situation. And it goes on and says, then God took his hand and he touched his mouth. He says, I've given you my words. And you begin to understand. You struggle and I struggle talking with our own relatives, our acquaintances, and our own friends about some of the garbage that's going on out there. They don't want to hear it. Then they struggle with, I don't care what your God does. I don't think I'm a sinner. In fact, if you guys would shut up, we'd stop thinking that people were born sinners. And I go, the list goes on and on and on. And I whisper to you, please understand, this call on Jeremiah's life, I'm passing to each one of you. I'm letting you know, let God touch your mouth. I'm letting you know that as difficult as the ministry of Jeremiah was, yours is equally difficult. You're in the middle of a culture that doesn't want to hear what you may have to say. And it certainly doesn't want to be asked to change and live a different lifestyle. You can't even preach that in many churches because they don't want to hear it. And so you begin to understand there are churches that would not speak a Jeremiah word, but there are churches that still do. And the only question is, are you willing to receive what that Jeremiah word is? And he goes on from there. He touched my lips and said, behold, I've given you my words in your mouth. And then he finishes this off with this really powerful little statement at the end. I have appointed you. I've designated you this day over nations and kingdoms. Then he goes something really interesting. To tear them down, uproot them, all right? Or pull them up. To destroy them or simply overthrow them. And also to build and fix and root and make new ones. So here he is, a young man looking at this going, me? How can you possibly be talking to me this way? Which I go, look in the mirror and please understand how that feels. Why would God want you to be the person that, right? And I figure that what God's trying to say to Jeremiah, and he called him and he just kept working him into this full ministry. He never backed off of Jeremiah. He expected Jeremiah to step forward. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And the part I stopped at before I got to, Jeremiah begins to see visions that God was giving him. Things that Jeremiah was going to have to speak and repeat out loud. And I go, please understand, prophetic ministry, ministry that involves the Word of God, is not an easy word in many cases. The gospel is the mercy of God accomplishing God's will where you don't have to do anything but receive what he's done for you. But on the flip side, when God calls you into the ministry, there are people you know that God whispers and says, we need to talk to them. One of the things that happens sometimes when people hear you get COVID, and I happened to be seeing, I met with my kids and family the other day, and we all got together, and they go, you know, COVID's kind of interesting. Are you ready to go? Right? It hits you. It's that feeling of, wow, is everything in order? Do I have all the papers ready to go? Have I signed all the documents I need to sign? Because there's no guarantee I'm going to come out of this. All right? And we thank God, but we begin to understand there is a difficult, difficult moment. And God whispers and says, when I call you into this ministry, I'm going to give you words you're going to be terrified to say, but I'm going to expect you to say them. I'm not only giving you the words, I'm going to give you the how-to. That's what Jeremiah said. I don't know how to line them up. How do I say it? God loves you. And unless you change, you're going to hell. That's one way to say a very tough message. A shout-out like I did earlier is another way to say a really tough message. But God is looking. That's why I started with the littlest one going, every one of you might be the artist, might be the person that writes something that changes and moves people in a direction that they haven't been moved before. And so don't let anyone look down on you because of your age, young or old. Please understand that. Don't dare think you're done. Well, I'm retired. It's been 2 years now. I'm really comfortable with this. God goes, I'm sorry, I didn't read that anywhere. Okay? I'm calling you into a ministry that is going to have to be spoken out there in a culture that won't want to hear it. And you begin to understand why Jeremiah wept. He wept because he loved people and the people wouldn't listen. He wept because he saw what was coming. And the people could not get to a point where they're cared. And notice it says, I've made you a prophet to the nations. I've made you not only a prophet to Israel, to the Jews, but I've made you a prophet. In a situation that allows you to miss out on what God has for you. I think Bruce Bagata, I hope he's listening, who knows, would have made a fantastic pastor. I think he went on to become a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, something pretty financially good. Wonderful young man, unbelievably intelligent student. And yet at the same time, I saw, just because I see something, that doesn't mean God's going to be able to pull you into that. So here's the question for you today. Are you willing to be Jeremiah and let God's call upon your life speak to you because there's people he needs you to reach? I will put my words in your mouth. I will give you the ability to line them up in correct order, and you will carry on in that ministry, and you will tear apart, tear down, or rebuild in accordance with my will. And you begin to understand that ministry is also part of God's ministry to the church. In the New Testament, we read about a really strange situation. If you listened at that, Jesus was in the synagogue and he's preaching and teaching. Suddenly someone shouts at him from the back of the church or front of the church, wherever the synagogue he was. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? We know who you are. And they begin shouting it out. And Jesus immediately rebukes it. Are you ready for that ministry? Are you ready to understand there are demonic forces unleashed upon your children, your family, your marriage, and those people around you? Do you understand they want to destroy you? They want to destroy your potential to paint a beautiful picture or write out the right words or make a difference in somebody's life. They're there to destroy you, and they don't care about you at all. And so here's Jesus rebuking and driving the demon out. Who knows? That may be something you may have to do one day. Don't look forward to it. Don't pursue it. Foolish to do that. But if the time comes, step into the calling. That's the challenge. Step into the calling that God has for you and let him accomplish his purposes in your life. Pray with me if you would. Lord, it's by grace alone that we stand here at all. It's because your Holy Spirit has spoken to us through your word and quickened within us a faith that is real. And yet, Lord, we have some growing to do, some submission to walk in, some faithfulness to live out. So I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that in your mercy and your grace you would work. I'm asking, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit into all of our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would begin to recognize our gifts, talents, and abilities will be different. But the ministry, the message, the purpose of life and the salvation of little ones and the rescue from abortion and the healing of a nation are all within the framework of that which you may call us to do. So give us the courage to stand, to fight, to be humble, to be broken in accordance with your will, Lord. And bless each of us. We pray this in your name. Amen. As you prepare